Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Oh, sun is shining. Finally, look at that beautiful baseball diamond, although they're probably playing soccer on it. Of course, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hour two, Teake and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Teake?
They are playing soccer.
Oh, God. Soccer. Jeez.
It's baseball season, people.
If you want to play
soccer, come on, kids.
Play on a soccer field. Don't go and play soccer on a baseball field.
You know what the
field.
Problem is in Manhattan, BT?
What?
There are no soccer fields.
I think there's more soccer fields than baseball fields.
Where is there a soccer field in Manhattan?
I don't know.
There isn't. You go to a Central Park.
Yeah, true. It's the biggest soccer field in the country.
But this looks like it's downtown. That's a hike to get to Central Park.
Well, that's right near our studio.
I know. That's what I mean. So it's a hike to get to Central Park.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mom, I'm going to go play soccer. Okay, I'll see you in 100 blocks up in Central Park.
Oh, God. But the weather started to change a little bit, and I think the pockets that have been just bombarded with cold, wet, chilly temps. What's that,
Dave? Is that Chris Jackson? That looks like Chris Jackson.
Our buddy from the other night? That looks like it's Michael Ohl, actually. What are you watching, MLB Network?
Yeah, I'm just watching MLB.
I'm looking from a distance here. It does look like Chris Jackson a little bit.
Looks so much like Chris
Jackson. What a great guy.
He's awesome. Chris Jackson, for those who don't know, he's an actor and a singer. He's in Bull,
yep,
which has got picked up for its third season on CBS, so in the family here. But he also was the original George Washington in Hamilton.
Yeah, and in The Heights. He was in The Heights.
He also helped Lin-Manuel write in The Heights. And so, great dude. He was out with us last night, or a couple nights ago.
He loves golf. He loves sports. He's a huge sports guy.
Great dude.
He is a good dude. Really
great
cool.
Dude. Check him out on Bull.
He was on your podcast, right?
Yeah, and he was on my podcast, Teake's Barbershop,
mm-hmm.
where you can find.
Who do you have coming up this week?
I want to interview, actually, my former strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, look at this guy. He's digging deep into the pocket, huh?
He's interesting.
Joe is. I'm just kidding.
Carini used to, he was New Jersey's strongest man a couple times. Bill Kazmaier, you've got to know that name. Those international lifting competitions. Like, you've seen him on ESPN back when
you were young. Yeah, like on ESPN2, like in 1993.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All those dudes.
Right after the guy would run on the lawns and split trees
exactly.
with his forearm.
All those dudes were his boys. Yeah. So he's just got all these crazy stories, man.
Is he still jacked?
He had a serious heart issue about 9 months ago. He's in a coma.
Oh, my God.
For about 6 weeks, and they thought he was going to die.
Oof.
But he came out of it. He's on the mend, but he's as crazy and nuts as ever. And I've been working out with him again, so that's why.
That's good.
That's
okay.
why I'm going to get him on.
All right, good.
We had some epic years back in the late 2000s.
Oh, you credit him all the time. I mean, you were the one. You had to actually do it.
Yeah.
But every time that comes up, you're quick to throw a little love to Carini.
He's just fun.
Good,
so,
man.
It'll be fun.
All right, cool.
And then I'm going to put on my interview with Dennis Rodman that I did with Thuzi.
Oh. Heard you almost made him cry.
I did.
Why?
I wasn't trying to.
What was the first question you asked him?
Is the question you asked me to ask
the
him.
The first question?
The very first question I asked him was.
You got to at least take him out to dinner before you.
I massaged him up a little bit.
Right?
Dennis, you're the greatest rebounder in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
Seven straight. Rebounding titles in the NBA, five-time champion, played with some of the greats. But
was he drinking a lot? He was.
No.
He wasn't drinking
sober.
At all.
He's sober. And that's that's why he almost cried.
Okay, go ahead.
Because he didn't have any relationship with his father until, I think, like 6 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
6 years, and he's now 50-something.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about it. His Hall of Fame speech, we showed a clip of him thanking Phil Jackson, who believed in him and was his buddy, even though he made him apologize to Scottie Pippen for that 1991 Eastern Conference Finals fight that they got into.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he told the story. It was good. And he said he stopped drinking because he wanted to spend time with his kids. So I asked him a question relative to his father and his fatherhood.
Okay.
And then he got a little bit emotional about it.
Okay.
But he was great. And he was great.
You always get real and raw.
Yeah. He was great.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Not going to hold back. Good. I got to listen to that. There you go, Teake. Let me ask you a question. Speaking of Rodman, speaking of the NBA, Anthony Davis has been on this incredible role. My God, he's amazing. You look at Kareem, all-time leading scorer, Bill Russell, all the championships, greatest winner along with Yogi Berra and a few others in pro sport. Kim Olajuwon, back-to-back championships, MVPs, of course, when Jordan was out, beat the Knicks in 94 and won it again in 95. Shaq, Duncan. I just really didn't even give that a lot of thought, but I just ripped off like eight or nine luminaries. But I wonder, and this is kind of back to Embiid and kind of a different extension of the conversation you and I had to start the hour here. Do you think that Embiid, because he seems to have the necessary ingredients to eventually become the face of the NBA, and you'd have to think, to answer this question, you have to figure LeBron's either fully, very much compromised or retired.
Yeah, so 2 years from now or so.
I think more than that. I think LeBron's still going to be pretty good in 2 years. I think, because I think he's going to play forward.
Yeah.
Chase people less on the perimeter.
It'll look a lot different.
It'll look different, for sure, no doubt. Yeah. Do you think, because I'm not so sure, that the face of the NBA could be a big man?
Yeah. Well, the reason that Joel Embiid is interesting to fill that void that LeBron could leave is because he's a really good defender. I mean, the stats that they were showing last night about the Miami Heat's made field goals from game one and two versus made field goals from game three, it was ridiculous. Basically, in game one and two, the average distance of a made field goal for the Heat was like 12 feet. In game three, with Embiid's presence in the middle, it was like 20. And so, obviously, he pushes you away from the basket, which is a less efficient shot, unless you're shooting, a three-pointer, which obviously, because it's worth more points, it becomes more efficient. And so, defensively, he's sound. Offensively, you can't, and what can you do unless you're a big seven-footer with a big body as well down there if you should play in the post? But also, he's starting to shoot from range. He's out to 18 to 22 feet sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And knocking them down.
No question.
And so, skill-wise, yes, I think he does. The interesting thing is, will Philadelphia be successful enough? That would be the question. Will they be successful enough as a team for the nation, not just Philadelphia fans, but the nation to pay attention whenever they play on national television or whenever they get to, a certain level in the playoffs or get to the championship? Are people going to be that engrossed? The answer is probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
He had some competition, though, with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, we've been talking about for a couple years now. I've had him as my MVP once or twice when we used to do his preseason predictions for the NBA. But he's never been able to stay healthy. This year, he's healthy, and he's got a great team around him. At least they're playing great in this first-round series against the Portland Trail Blazers. And so there could be competition for that face of the NBA, and it's not going to be a guard. It's not going to be the Kobe type or the LeBron type or LeBron from – a Jordan type from the previous years. It looks like it could be big men, unless Ben Simmons comes in and steals some of the thunder as well.
Which opens up a different question. Can you have two guys on the same team?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know about that. I feel like at some point, just kind of like an MVP vote, I think they're going to offset each other at some point. I think it's almost... I'm going to answer this selfishly. Yeah. Like if my desire, if I'm a player, and of course I want to be a champion, I want to make as much money as I can. If it's really truly my goal to become the face of the league, I think it's going to be hard to do that with somebody two or three lockers down who's chipping away at my shine nightly.
But it's not worth busting that up.
I'm not saying that. I'm not even remotely implying that. I'm saying one is the winning stuff.
Yeah.
Then the other nonsensical extraneous stuff that hopefully young, developing, soon-to-be champions don't get wrapped up in. But we've seen that disrupt a lot of great duos and trios. Jason Kidd, I don't know if this would have been an all-time one, but Jason Kidd, Jamal Mashburn, and Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. I think it was also over, rumblings over over a girl, Braxton.
Braxton, Tony Braxton.
Yeah.
So they say, allegedly.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few
actually,
sources.
The bigger one, which actually fits more than this... This comparison is Shaq and Kobe.
I mean,
how many championships could they have won?
But were they the simultaneous face of the NBA? No, because LeBron was still there, even though he was young. We talk about when Kobe. No. You mean the end, like the literal end of Kobe Shaq?
Yeah. I mean, LeBron was there.
No, I know, but it wasn't LeBron's league yet.
No.
Garnett was a star.
But my Duncan. My point to the strike, and I don't think that like Shaq and Kobe were so different, like approach to the game wise. Shaq wanted to have fun. He was, you know, rapping and doing all these other things. Kobe's like dead ass serious. Like we're practicing, you know, like we're playing each and every day. Come to this arena like it means something important to you. And Shaq was the opposite of that, right? And so that was their disconnect. I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, I'm the face of the league and you're not type of thing. Whereas in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons feel exactly the same, meaning their attitude, their approach towards success. And so I don't think that rift will happen like it did with Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to sit here and forecast a rift either. I think the origin of the rift with Kobe and Shaq, I think you nailed it, was about, I think Kobe thought that Shaq was lazy. And I think there was also a little wrestling of power. I do. I don't see that at all with these two, but it's so early. Who the heck knows?
Yeah, true.
I just look at, like, the main faces around the league right now. Like, Steph, you know, say what you will. Steph's 30.
I know.
Say what you will.
Forget
Steph Curry's 30.
He's been around that long.
He's 30.
I know.
As
KD?
As great as Durant is, does he excite you? And I know he's phenomenal. I can watch Kevin Durant play basketball all night.
On the court?
Yes.
Yeah, of course
he does. Hear you. But do you feel compelled to want to talk or probe deeply into who he is, the inner dynamic of the answer for me is no.
No, because he doesn't offer it.
No, and similar to James Harden. As great as James Harden is, I don't know, I'm kind of like, I'd love to do his ability. I don't mean that.
Yeah, no,
just
it's
like
there's like a there's a mystique around him. Like you don't quite know who he is. I know what you're saying.
And same with Carl Anthony Towns, who's done himself no favors this postseason.
Yeah, so it's almost like you have to be, not corny, but like out there all the time, like constantly building your brand.
Or an incredibly physical specimen like a young Shaq or LeBron.
True.
You know, just a beast, like a almost like a unicorn type. And that's certainly something Embiid has.
Yeah, but I mean, like for instance, LeBron, his play obviously got him to the national attention, the brand, alpha brand number one in the NBA. But it's also everything that he continually does. And it's not just all self-promotion. Some of it's like starting a charter school or a program for schools in Cleveland or Northeast Ohio, as he likes to say. Or, you know, creating a business that allows athletes, the uninterrupted, allows athletes to tell their story. So it's all these, like, different things. It's always something new that happens that puts him at the top of a media cycle. Whereas a lot of these other guys aren't doing those things. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, they got their requisite shoe deals and the commercials that come with that. But that's in the same lane that they're already in. I think you got to be really smart about getting outside of your lane and mastering that lane. LeBron does that so expertly that he's the face of the NBA because his face is everywhere. Not all these guys do that or have the ability to do that or the desire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me wonder, is it going to take someone like LeBron who understands that to become the face, or is it just going to be someone who's great on court, like we're seeing with some of these guys we're talking about, Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis and Ben Simmons?
It's got to be a charisma that flows off the court for me. You know, Magic
me
had
it. Too.
You know, I
me
hear
too.
You.
Absolutely.
Magic had
Jordan
it.
Jordan had it.
Jordan had it. Bird didn't have charisma, but he had a middle America charm that was very sellable and relatable.
Yeah, the other thing, and Samson just mentioned this, and it's the obvious one. Mm. You got to win some titles.
Oh, of course.
It goes without saying.
Best producer in the business.
No, but listen,
thanks for that nugget, Mike.
Thank you, Samson.
And B could have all the charisma that he wants. He could be fun on Instagram and Twitter. But if he's not winning 3-4 titles for the Sixers, he's not the face of the NBA. You got to win. I mean, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You have to be a winner on and off the court, and I think that's part of the problem. Is like you can do shoe deals and sponsorships and promotions and everything, but unless you're winning, you have to have the combination of the two.
I'll further it, Mike. I think if you don't have the championships, those commercials are used as fuel against you.
Mm.
Like that kind of became an enemy to Carmelo Anthony.
That's a good point.
He wanted to brand himself so much this global icon. After a while, we're like, yo. Can you get to the second round?
And he's good at those things too. By the way,
yeah.
like the PE firm that he started, his love of wine. We were talking to Sean Pekka's last at our event, saying there's one guy who knows wine more than anybody I know, and that's Carmelo Anthony. It's not what you would assume, because you just don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you might be a great wine connoisseur, Carmelo, but did you win a championship?
Nah, he's about a year away from drinking as much as he wants whenever he wants because you have a whole lot left.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if he had won some championships, we'd actually, hey, when are you coming out with your own wine, Carmelo? You know what I mean? It's requisite to it, I think, especially in the NBA, where the brand is so important. Like what you look like and how you present is so important to whether or not people are going to follow you and embrace you.
Dustin just tweeted this here at @_DAPSAK, S-A-K. Shaq and Penny right now is the equivalent to what Simmons and Embiid are going to be.
Interesting.
If I'm a Sixers fan, that terrifies me.
Yeah, because that was injuries, though. I mean,
no, Shaq left. He left for L.A.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he left for L.A. Left Penny hanging. And then Penny eventually got hurt.
Yeah.
So how do you want to frame this? You know, because I think that we'll get some great calls on this. You want to just frame it as simply as can a conventional big man
in 2018?
Yeah, in the year 2018, moving forward, can he truly be the face of the NBA? Mm. I think that's the way to do it. 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4227. Thoughts on the action from last night, also the rivalry aspect that Teek and I started the show on. You know, get a little chippy there with Miami and Philly, which is not a bad thing because most of these series have been pretty weak, pretty lame. Going to have a couple of brooms, it looks. Big one tonight for LeBron. I'll get some calls coming up. Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You know, the other thing that changes, I think, a little bit, and Teek, you've heard me reference this a couple of times here on Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You know, when the conversation about all-time greats comes up pertaining to the NBA, I always make sure I throw a really firm and identifiable stake in the ground for Kareem. Because I always think that Kareem gets overlooked, and when you get overlooked, you get disrespected, even if it's unintentional.
It's true.
And I think the reason that's happened, and we've said this a million times, is I don't know where I got it from, but I had this basketball, and even though I couldn't stand the Lakers, it was a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, probably like from Modell's, I don't know. And I remember I was dribbling in my basement. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and like, I was not inspired at all to do anything like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
I mean, I was throwing passes off the wall, or trying to, behind my back, you know, like magic, and trying some other things, like Isaiah dribbling around like a knucklehead. But Kareem just wasn't cool.
Yeah, you didn't want a skyhook.
Didn't want a skyhook, didn't want to wear goggles, didn't want to wear knee pads, didn't want to, you know, with all due respect, be 7'2" or 7'3", gangly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one difference pertaining to our question about whether or not big men can really truly be the face of the NBA, the evolution of the big man
true
probably changes that because
no,
it's
no
a lot
doubt.
More appealing when you can put up 23 footers to
exactly.
everybody.
So if you're 7 feet and you can knock down 3-pointers like KD, like Embiid does every now and then people want to do that. It's what kids want to do. I mean, my sons play basketball. It's like when they get out there, the only thing they want to do is shoot 3-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When they're just messing around. It's because it's an exciting part of the game. Now, that's how the game has evolved, and the really good teams shoot 3-pointers these days, and they shoot them effectively and efficiently, and they build their team to have guys that come off their bench that can shoot 3-pointers. Regardless of size, but if you're a big man who can defend and then also knock down, you know, from range, then you can be the face of the franchise, I think.
Mm. What about some of these kids coming out now? It's early when I was going to start breaking down NBA draft prospects.
Yeah,
but
too hard to know.
Nah, I mean, just in terms of a style that's appealing. I mean, most of them have some range here.
I mean, look, we
had a little bit early for that.
It is, because look, they're all 19 years old. You know what I mean? The ones who potentially could fall into this category, they're 19 years old. I have no idea what they're going to evolve into in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
and we talked to DeAndre Ayton, and he was a little stiff with us when he first started.
Yeah, we had to loosen him up a little
bit.
Up,
and he became he got cool as the interview went on.
Mm-hmm.
But even he's talking about expanding his game, and you know, what do I do when I go to practice? I practice on shooting 3-pointers, right? And so can he do it and be effective at it? I have no idea. But if he can, then that makes him so much more valuable and so much more interesting in today's NBA.
Okay, Teek, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. Let's probe into the Pelicans a little bit here.
Yep.
With, first of all, what they are, and also some of the numbers in contrast, what they are without Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, I saw this.
It's amazing. I'll tell you what, I don't know where you stand on this, and we'll spit out some of the numbers in a moment. I think it's really unfair, although I can understand why some people might deduce this. I don't think it's fair to have a direct correlate or an absolute correlation because Boogie's gone. This is why they're playing so well.
Yeah.
They actually had pretty good chemistry, pretty good thing going for a little bit there before he ruptured his Achilles.
Agreed. I mean, they were both shooting 3-point. I remember there was a couple of games where between the two of them, they were taking like 12 to 15 3-pointers a game. These are 2 7-footers, you know, standing on the perimeter. It's if you're a defender, if you're trying to draw up a defense, how do you defend that? Mm-hmm. Especially because Anthony Davis can put it on the court and go by you. And so, yeah, I agree with you, BT. But when you look at this stat, it makes it seem alarming because with a Boogie with the Marcus Cousins, 56% was their win percentage with Boogie this year in 2017. Without him, they were 64%, almost 65%. Mm-hmm. And now the last 30...
Similar amount of games, too.
Yeah,
only about an 8 or 9 game disparity, I think, between the two.
You're right. So, I mean, almost 8% better. And then in the last 30 games, and obviously a lot of those are without Boogie, they've won 73% of their games. And then when you go look at the series against the Portland Trailblazers, where they're dominating Portland. Mm-hmm. Dominating. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of this is the style of Portland. We talk about their backcourt with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. They play such an ISO-heavy game, such a I'm-going-to-create game. I'm going to pick and roll, and when they switch, as soon as they try to switch back, I'm going to be cutting to the rim and finding an open player on our squad. But what the Pelicans have done so well is that they don't switch. They just trap. You know what I mean? And so Damian Lillard gets stuck with the rock, and he turns it over. Record number of turnovers Damian Lillard had last night. And you couple that with the fact that they just don't assist, right? In the regular season, they were last in the NBA in assists.
30th, a lot of ball stoppage.
30th in the NBA in assists. In 2018, in this NBA, we've seen the Warriors. We've seen the Cavaliers even though the Cavs are back are bad to back being bad at assisting on the basketball. You can't win that way mm-hmm. anymore. And it's carried over into the postseason. They're averaging under, I think, 19 assists a game in the postseason, whereas the Pelicans are up to 26 or 27 assists a game. It makes such a huge difference. And when you look for reasons why Portland is playing so bad, it's because C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard are getting stunted by Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday, who are really good defenders. They're long and they can mess with you when you try to be ISO heavy, and turnovers are leading to easy baskets for the Pelicans. And then they take it's one day somebody else is going to score 30. That's what it is for the Pelicans right now. Once Anthony Davis, whether it's Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. whether it's
Mirotić
last night.
Yep.
I mean, you can't stop them when you're worn out because you're getting too exhausted offensively trying to find baskets. You can't stop them on the other end of the court.
They look good. All right, coming up next, team, we'll get to football at the 40s here after Axe Update. And got a little something on Dez Bryant. John Elway reveals a little bit of his draft strategy, as does the Colts GM, Chris Ballard. So a couple of teams, maybe it's a little smokescreen. Mm, Tiki and I'll sort through it. This is a good football at the 40s, though. You don't want to miss it right after Axe Update. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, the NFL draft's almost here. Thank God. Nobody covers it better than the NFL Network. I think we cover it pretty well.
Yeah, we definitely do.
I mean, yeah, I got to add that in. I mean, nobody does a better job than them. And what about us?
The Wiz?
Hey, go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL Draft starting April 26 on the NFL Network and Fox. They're our buddies. They do a good job. Okay, so, Teague, before we get to football at the 40s here, program alert. Now, next week on the show, Mike, how would you – I know Mike always gets a little nervous when I tacitly promote names that aren't yet fully booked.
Mm-hmm.
So I will ask Mike for a percentage – because he's done a great job with some of these names. Josh Allen, over, under 50%. Which way are you leaning?
At.
Right around 50%?
Yeah, 50-50.
Mm. Okay, okay.
I mean, listen, it's one of those things that you're working hard on, and you have people working for you to help make it happen and connect. It's just a matter of whether or not Josh wants to do it. So there's no indication, yes or no. It's just a matter of if Josh wants to get out there and be like his fellow QB draftee prospects and be smart.
Self-promote
and get
themselves.
Out there and promote himself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter until you go ball. That's the only thing
matters
to
us. We want
them. Of course. I'm talking about just like shameless self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter until you ball.
Get paid while you can, though. Even non-bowlers get paid.
That's true.
Sam Darnold, not a non-bowler. He's going to join us on Monday. So will Aaron Murray. Tuesday, we've got Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb goes where? Real quick, go. Where's he going?
One, to the Cleveland Browns.
He's not going one. He's not going to go one.
I'm sticking to it. I mean, everybody's saying, like, oh, this guy's going to go number one. This guy's going to go. Oh, I'm saying Bradley Chubb's going number one to the Cleveland Browns.
Because they could still get their quarterback at four.
You're right.
Well, that's interesting. All right.
And they don't need him to play right away because they have Tyrod Taylor.
They do have Tyrod Taylor. They'd have to pay him next year. So next year he wouldn't be there. This year he's functional. Tyrod's a decent player. He's got some weapons out there.
Right.
We know that. Oh, they just brought in Landry, gave him the money as well.
First of all, if they draft a quarterback one, they can still get Chubb four.
Not necessarily.
Giants
could take him at two.
Yeah, agreed. Giants got rid of JPP.
Maybe.
Look,
but they're going running back or quarterback.
There's so many. I don't know, man.
Giants. I think the Giants are more likely to go quarterback than Chubb.
They don't love the quarterbacks unless it's Darnold. At least that's what you're hearing. And who knows if what you're hearing is real or nonsense.
Well, that's why we have a former Giant here. So what's going on?
But we know what the Giants have won Super Bowls with. Great defense.
Pass rush.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we know that they just got rid of one of their really good
JPP.
Pass rush. Exactly. So
gone.
You get rid of expensive talent for cheap talent.
Mm.
And there's really good cheap talent defensive end in this year's draft who's really good. I'm just saying.
Okay. Derwin James from Florida State could go anywhere between, I don't know, 9 to 15-ish, depending upon trade, stuff like that. He's a stud.
Yeah, he
safety.
Is. A lot of people saying he's going to end up in Tampa.
Wouldn't stun me, although I could see them maybe going corner as well with Fitzpatrick, right? Grimes is getting old. Grimes got to be about 33. 30. He's got to be.
He might be like 36.
Dude. I don't think he's 36. How old's Grimes, Mike? I think he's 33. I think I looked that up last season. Because he's still running pretty well. I think he's 33. How old's Grimes, Mike?
He is turning. He's 34 now, turns 35 before the start of the next season.
So he's 34.
Yeah, you split us.
We got Dak Prescott on Friday. Got to ask Dak about Dez. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Dez, you ready for a little football at the 40s?
Yeah, let's.
Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark. 40 yards on the return. A 40-yard touchdown. 40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney. On CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Teak, here we go. So, obviously, the Giants, you would think, are in the market for a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Brandon Marshall failed his physical, and he is out. And what do you know? A little Instagram, a little snappage, a little workoutage between Dez Bryant and who else? Odell Beckham Jr. making the rounds last night.
Yes.
Hinting at a Giants deal.
Let me ask you this, BT.
What's that?
What the hell does that even mean? They're like, they're just working out together. All of these
Look
dudes.
At these guys. And they put it in slow motion.
I know.
How corny is that?
It's for drama.
What a bunch of cornballs these athletes are.
Don't you feel the drama? Don't you feel the drama, BT?
I mean, it looks actually kind of weird if you really
look at it. It's dramatic. It's not.
And what are they doing?
Exactly.
These clowns.
They're those rope things.
I mean, come on. Slow motion?
Tracy does that at the gym for her arm form.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't have value. Are you going to put it in slow motion? 31-year-old wide receiver with his 26-year-old.
I mean, I'm sure there's something, just as a side, I'm sure there's some value to that exercise. I've never done it in my life, ever.
What does it, in theory, do?
I have no idea.
Is it an explosion thing?
Maybe, but.
You don't know?
I had a pretty good career. I never did it ever once in my life. What does this mean? This means absolutely nothing. This means that Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham Jr. kind of like each other, and they work out together at whatever facility they are. And by the way, all of these guys all work out together somewhere at some point in an offseason.
But why do they have to post in slow motion?
Because Dez is desperate, man. Dez wants to show that he's working hard, and it's dramatic, and he's going to be with the New York Giants because Odell Beckham is right there with him.
God.
He That's what that
amazing.
Means.
Nobody works like Odell Beckham Jr. Wow. Man, he is a beast.
Just get your job done in anonymity and come up. We show up on week one and play. All right. These guys are all cornballs, these young athletes. All right, Teak, moving on. John Elway.
They're trying to follow in LeBron's steps.
By the way, if I was that age, I don't think I'd be doing it in slow motion. I'm sure I'd be doing similar stuff. Not slow motion, though. That's unnecessary. John Elway puts this out, and he says, quote, "I'm open to trading." Mm. So the Broncos have the fifth spot here.
Yes.
Right, they're at number five. My Jets are at number three. The Browns are at number four. Jets are at number five. The Broncos number five. The Colts are number six. They swap with the Jets. And then you get to the Bucks and you get into that territory here. So this could shake out. Let me give you a scenario. Let's just say the Giants swap. We'll go Allen one. Just follow along. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen goes one. Giants take Darnold because they can't pass up on him.
Yep.
The Jets then take either Rosen or Mayfield. They're mm-hmm. definitely taking a quarterback. And then the Browns take either Chubb or Saquon Barkley or even Nelson,
yep.
the great guard from yep. Notre Dame. If you're the Broncos, if there's Rosen or Mayfield, do you stay put and draft one?
I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
Even if it was either, like, didn't matter which one of the two was there?
Didn't
either
matter.
One you would take at number five?
Probably, if I'm Denver, because they need a solution.
They need more than people think. That's the problem.
I agree.
Everybody's like, oh, they're just a quarterback away.
No,
defense isn't what it was.
They've lost a lot on defense. DeMarcus Ware retired a couple years ago, and now Aqib Talib is no longer there. T.J. Ward.
Got
rid of last year. So, I mean, they need to retool their defense. And, yeah, they may still have some really great defenders, Von Miller being the obvious one that jumps to mind. But great defenses aren't based solely on their starters. Great defenses are based on great depth with some young players who are learning how to be the starter or the man. That's how Seattle won. It wasn't because their frontline starters were amazing. They had rotation. They had a rotation that was unbelievable. So, yes, there is more for this Denver Broncos team than just a quarterback. A quarterback is necessary, but if they can't get who they want, I can absolutely see them moving back, or at least trying to.
I think Case Keenum's pretty good. I know Case Keenum's pretty good with Barkley behind him. Yeah. If he ever slipped to number five, then Elway's got to.
And they just let go of C.J. Anderson.
Just let go of him. We'll see. Okay, more draft speculation. Colts general manager Chris Ballard says the team is open to trading back again. Remember, they flipped with the Jets. Yes. They had the third spot. Just said that before. Jets six. Boom. They jumped up three spots. So right now, the Colts are at six. And you'd have to imagine that they've already had at least exploratory conversations. You have to imagine, at the bare minimum, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Cardinals at 15.
Yeah.
At the minimum.
That's all this is about. At least this is what I think it's all about, is that right now they don't need a quarterback. And so there are a few teams behind them that absolutely need a quarterback. So if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're open for anything. Anyone to come get what they need, because what they need is a guy who, like a Quentin Nelson, who could fall to them. If they get stuck at six, I think they're fine.
That would be great if they got Nelson.
I agree.
That would be great for them.
If they get stuck there, I think they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can move back and get some more assets, because they also have some holes to fill, then I think they'll be great as well. This is just speculation. This is just putting this out there so that teams, you know, a team somewhere will read a headline and say, oh, maybe I should reach out to Ballard. Yeah, let's have a conversation, since it's now frontline news or top of the newspaper news. Let's see if there's just some interest here.
Keep in mind, with the trade with the Jets, so they got the two second round picks this year
mm-hmm.
and a second round pick next year.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if it's possible, but they could stay at six and, in theory, take those three second round picks, maybe jump into the back end of the first round. Maybe the Colts walk away with two first round picks.
Maybe.
We'll see. Gonna be interesting. All right, Santa, you texted me this morning, and you were right. This is just unfair.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
This is ridiculous. So there are a couple of teams this year who will play three straight road games, we know.
Yep.
You get the schedule quirk, the schedule anomaly. It happens on a yearly basis. It's not fair, but it is what it is. The Chargers are going to have to play 6 weeks. They're going to have to go 6 weeks without playing in L.A.
Yeah.
Now, they'll have a home game because one's overseas.
Yes, but it's
6 weeks.
It's a home game in London.
Now, without playing in L.A.
We'll have the NFL Director of Broadcasting, Mike North, here.
That's the first thing I'm asking.
In the next segment about this. There's only three teams this year that have three straight road games. Obviously, the Chargers are one of them. But the reason they do this, because it's kind of unfair to be away from home for that long. The Chargers don't play in Los Angeles for six straight weeks.
Yes.
That is hard.
They play there week five at the StubHub Center against the Raiders. The next time, week five.
Yeah.
The next time they're back is week 11.
Yeah.
Just let that register for a second.
Right.
Imagine, think about your fan. We're on in Green Bay. Imagine, Packers, and the Packers beat whomever here in week five, 30-27. And we'll see you in week 11. Not at all for the Packers broadcast team. Next time we're back at Lambeau.
That's crazy.
Like, that's asinine. That is unfair.
Yeah.
That is unacceptable.
Well, they're doing it because they haven't established themselves at home yet.
That's not a good enough answer.
I agree, but that's
unfair.
That's why they're doing it.
All right. We've got the Thanksgiving slate. You ready for it?
Yeah, this is a good one.
It's pretty good here. We get the Bears at the Lions.
Yep.
CBS. Gotta like that. 12:30 Eastern. Little Mitch Trubisky, who's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be good, Mitch Trubisky. You with me on that, right?
I am.
Okay. The 4:30 game, the Redskins at the Cowboys, By then, the Redskins will probably be, what is that, week one? Redskins are going to stink.
Well, unless Alex Smith is phenomenal. Jordan Reed stays healthy.
He's never healthy.
They draft some defensive help to go with Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't write them all. I'm not saying they're going to be 3-13 bad, but...
Maybe.
They strike me as a 7-9 team. Disagree with that?
Maybe get Dez Bryant.
Get who?
Dez.
Hey, look who's home for Thanksgiving. It's good old Dez. Come on in, Dez. And then the night game. This is good. 8:30, NBC, Eagles, and the Saints.
I think, you know, one of the main thing about this that makes this so compelling is it's not late, like super late in the season, but it's late enough in the season where your division starts to become very important. Your division standings become very important. And so you're playing a Thursday night a Thanksgiving game that's going to have playoff implications, which is fantastic. So good job, schedulers, in getting these games relevant instead of random games that may have once in a bygone era been a rivalry to something that is currently certainly a rivalry because it's division games.
Diesel, you're an idiot, Diesel. You really are. I was listening to you, too.
I know you weren't, but it's all good.
I got you. Pete Carroll says Seattle's still open to signing Colin Kaepernick. Are they just going to say this to placate people?
Yeah,
you know what? Just get about your business.
Who cares at this point?
I don't mean who cares about Kaepernick.
I hear what you're saying, but you can't even discuss this anymore.
Really?
Really?
We're still open to it. We might do it. We're still contemplating.
Thanks, Pete.
Do you want him or not?
Thanks,
Pete.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
How many Thanksgiving Day games did you play?
None.
Not one?
None. Because back when I was playing, it was only one.
No, I know. You never played Dallas? Not once?
No, it was only Detroit.
It wasn't? What are you talking about?
The Thanksgiving game
The Cowboys always played. It was the two games. The third game was the late add-on. Lawrence Taylor played in Dallas in 82, or he had the 90-something yard pick back to the house.
That was Detroit, dude.
That was Dallas.
The 97 yard, the interception.
Was that Detroit?
The interception return for a touchdown that Lawrence Taylor had, where he didn't start the game, and he single-handedly, you rarely say this in the NFL, but he single-handedly beat a team because he returned the kickoff, he returned an interception for a touchdown, as well as, led to two things that led to a couple field goals, turnovers deep, sack fumbles, et cetera, that led to two field goals for the Giants. They didn't move the ball at all. They just kicked from there.
What year was that, 82?
80.
Was it 82 or 83?
I want to say 83.
Mike, what was the first year Dallas played Thanksgiving
Day? It was 82.
So it was 82.
When did Dallas play? That was against Detroit.
So going all the way back until it looks like 1970.
Yeah.
It's been the Lions and Cowboys every year since 1970.
Yeah. The add-on was... when the NFL Network started putting up those game, the third game, which I actually like. I mean, I know a lot of people complain about it, but it's there if you want it. Well, because it takes away from family a little bit, but at that point, everybody's eating.
Yeah, you're chilling.
For the most part.
It's the early
game. Grandpa's half asleep, snoring.
It's the earlier games that actually interfere with your meal.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
A lot of times because you're traveling. You're en route to wherever you're eating if you're not hosting. So a lot of times, you're right. A lot of times you'll get the... again, 12:30 Eastern, where you and I are, you might be en route. You might be on the road. You get that in the car. You kind of listen on the radio,
Yeah, the late game has never been an issue.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so you never played... The Giants and the Cowboys never played on Thanksgiving.
Never.
During your time.
I didn't.
Guess you guys weren't high profile enough.
We weren't. We weren't.
Because you had Dave Brown. Dave Brown.
You still talk to that guy?
Dave Brown?
I actually did.
Did you really?
About a year and a half ago.
I bet you he's doing great. Probably like a financial analyst.
Is
that what he is? He's doing well? Duke kid. Smart guy. Not a good quarterback. All right, we'll get to the Mike North is going to join us. The director of broadcasting for scheduling the NFL. Got some questions.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.